right, welcome in. I almost fell coming up here. Hope you didn't see that. Some of you did. I can't get into that Chick-fil-A, but man, church is a crazy thing, like having student ministry, college ministry, next generation stuff. I was working in my office this week, and I don't know what they're doing with that student ministry kickoff, that launch party, but they're doing something with bubbles. And some of the afternoons here, it looks like somebody's washing machine. They put too much Tide in it. You know what I'm saying? Huge bubbles go floating past my window as I'm like studying the Bible or meeting with people. And I'm like, you know, to be in student ministry, right? So I really want to go to that just to see what's happening with the bubbles. But man, it is an exciting time launching here in August. So in addition to everything new here, doing those things, man, it's about the next generation. It's so important to us. Will mentioned, we are kicking off new series, Know and Follow. We do this every year. The vision of Keystone Church, maybe you're new. If you're not new, you know this, but the vision of Keystone Church is this, to help people better than 845. I'm not kidding. I don't say that to all the services. You were. Excellent. Yes, that's it. Help people know and follow Jesus. That is the vision of this church. Jesus said this in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No, Jesus said, you trying to get to God? There's one way to God. You know who it is? Jesus. That's the only way. And so at this church, we want to help you get to the Father, to get to God, to have a relationship with him. One way to do that is through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm not a way. I am the way, Jesus said. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I am the life. And so as we enter into this new place, we want to introduce some of you to and remind some of you of the key values that carry the vision to know and follow Jesus. And we're going to be hitting on those this week and next week. The value we really want to hit on today is this, spiritual family. I think I have it on a slide. This is on our website. You go to our website and find this. Spiritual family means this. We are a spiritual family. Here's what it means. God builds the church and our lives in the context of relationships. You find that on the website. That is a value of this church. We talk about spiritual family. And so it's important to us. And some of you are like, spiritual family sounds good. Spiritual family, two nice words, right? Here's a psychological definition of spirituality. A set of beliefs, practices, experiences held by an individual that ultimately leads to a transcendence of self to be concerned with otherness. You're like, yeah, that sounds kind of spiritual. But what does it mean in biblical terms? Like, what does God mean by spirituality? What does God mean by spiritual? We're going to talk about that. The biblical lens and spiritual family, right? Man, family's a crazy thing. Late comedian George Burns. Anybody know who George Burns is? Or probably like one of us. Oh, great, excellent, some old people. George Burns said this, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. And yeah, I hear you. We'll pray for you after, all right? Yeah, but yes, right. For some of us, that's true, and we're laughing at it because it is true. But for some of us, it's not really funny, right? Like, family can be a hard thing. So when we talk about this concept of spiritual families, like spiritual means one thing, family means one thing. And listen, what we want to know is this, what does God mean by spiritual family? What does the Bible say about spiritual family? Because that's where we want to lock in. Listen, here's what the Bible says, Ephesians 1:5. He, God, is talking about family. God predestined us to be adopted as sons, and we could say as sons and daughters. God adopted us as, one translation says, legal heirs through Jesus Christ for himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So spiritual family, according to God's standard, is this. We are adopted into his family, sons and daughters if we know Jesus. And we are legal heirs to the riches of God's grace. We're part of that spiritual family. That's what God means. J.I. Packer, lay theologian, some of you know his name. I love this quote. Here's what he wrote. If you want to judge how well a person understands, look at this. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much they make of the thought of being God's child and having God as their father. If it is not the thought that prompts and controls their worship and prayer and whole outlook on life, it means they do not understand Christianity very well at all. So if you don't understand the concept of spiritual family, that we are in the family of God based on being adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, J.I. Packer, who's a lot smarter than all of us about the Bible, says, you don't really understand Christianity. Man, spiritual family is an important thing. It's an important thing, and we want to talk about that today. What is What is the substance of spiritual family? Let's get to the Bible. Acts 11. All right, go and turn there. Acts chapter 11, substance of spiritual family. You need a Bible. You know that? Some of you walk in, you're like, hey, I saw you had Bibles in a welcome space. You're staging the building. No, we're not. We're giving those away. Get a Bible. Big bonus for me, however many Bibles I give away. That's not true, but get a Bible, all right? Listen, some of you, you got your GPS in your car. The only way you know to get around Des Moines is the blue line. Like, how do you get there? I don't know. I follow the blue line. These verses are going to be on a slide, all right? And some of you are like, all I ever do is come to church and I just read the screen. That's like just following the blue line. Without the blue line, you couldn't get there. You know what you need? A map. You need the Bible. Thank you. So get a Bible because it's the map. It's better than just the blue line, all right? That's not even a sermon, but I got all fired up about that, all right? Get a Bible. I gave one to somebody back there today. Get one if you don't have it. Acts 11, 19. Now, those who had been scattered as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen made their way as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. News about them reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. For he was a good man. He's full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. Large numbers of people were added to the Lord. Then he went to Tarsus to search for Saul. When he found him, brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught large numbers. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. That's the word of God. And receive it as such. It's his perfect word to us. And it tells us about the substance of this thing called spiritual family. I talked about maps. I got a map for you. Look at this. Some of you are like, you know what I don't have enough of in my life? Bible maps. I got you covered. All right? Here's a Bible map. And on this map, you can see up there in the corner is the city of Antioch, Antioch of Syria. I asked my kids this week, hey, what do you think about using Bible maps in sermons? My daughter's like, I think it's dumb. But my son-in-law said I love it, so I'm going with my son-in-law. He's a good boy, all right? So here's a map of Antioch of Syria up there in the middle of the screen. And here's what history tells us about Antioch. Merchants of Antioch traded with people from all over the world. You can kind of see how it's off the Mediterranean Sea there, accessible. It included populations of Romans and Greeks and Syrians and Jews. Antioch was a wealthy city. It was multicultural. Many of its inhabitants benefited from the high level of commerce and trade as you look at that map. And this was known worldwide, Antioch was, as a place of artistic beauty and perpetual vice. So it's a multicultural city, but it's a godless city. It's a secular city full of idols. And into the city, a church is planted that we read about here in Acts chapter 19. And how did that happen? Or Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Look at the text with me. It happened because suffering led to scattering, led to speaking. That's right in verse 19. Look, that's often how the gospel gets out. You know that? People suffer, they're scattered, and they speak the gospel. That's the pattern of the New Testament. Verse 19, those who have been scattered as a result of persecution that started because of Stephen, we'll get to that, made their way as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, there's our city, and they started speaking the word of God, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to no one except the Jews. At that point, the gospel's just starting out, and it's a Jewish thing. So we understand that intense persecution broke out in Jerusalem, where the early church started. Today, skip your nap. Read Acts 1 through 8, all those chapters. It'll tell you how the early church started. In chapter 1, it starts in Jerusalem, but persecution happened. And in Acts chapter 7, we read about the death of Stephen. And it prompted many of these Jewish believers to flee, to become the diaspora, as the word is called, and they spread out into places like Antioch of Syria. And guess who said it was going to happen like that? Jesus did. You know that? This is interesting. Look at this. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, after Stephen is martyred, it says this, on that day, on the very day he's martyred, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And look, all except the apostles were scattered throughout the lands of, notice, Judea and Samaria. Look what Jesus said back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and where else? In all Judea and Samaria, and then ultimately to the ends of the earth, which is where we're at today. But listen, the early church spread the way that Jesus said it would spread. There was suffering, they were scattered, and they started speaking the gospel. Same job we have today. Just like Jesus said it was going to be. Look at verse 26. This is huge. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. I wonder if the name stuck. It did. We're called Christians today. You know that? That name stuck. But isn't it interesting? The first place they're called Christians, these believers in Jesus, disciples, followers of Jesus, the first place they're called Christians is in this city of Antioch. Spiritual family gets an identity. Historians tell us this, the city of Antioch, they had a reputation for coming up with nicknames. Isn't that interesting? You got a nickname in your home like, hey, Bud or Bubba or Sissy, I don't know, whatever. You got a nickname, but you come into Antioch, and this place, Antioch, Syria, people were big on giving people nicknames. And so as these Christians began to gather, and it's a multicultural church, and it's no longer just a Jewish thing. It's other Gentile people with the Jews, and it's a weird mix. And the people in Antioch are like, look at those Christians over there. And it may have been in a derogatory sense or a joking sense, historians tell us, that they gave him this name. But nonetheless, it suggests that people in the city of Antioch are beginning to recognize them as members of more than a group of Jewish people. It's distinct from that. It's all kinds of people. What does the text tell us? It tells us, man, people, there's Greek people and the men from Cyprus and Cyrene, they're telling people other than Jews about Jesus, and people are coming to know and follow Jesus. Those Christians over there. Hey, time out. Let me apply something. You ever do something in your life, and those of you who call yourself a Christian, you ever do something in your life and you act the way you shouldn't, and someone says to you, you call yourself a Christian. Hopefully your spouse never pulled that one on you. Ooh, that'd be rough, right? You call yourself a Christian. Isn't it interesting in this text? This church of people in Antioch, they were living so much like Jesus that the community around them looked at them and said, you know what they're like? They're like Christians. They're followers of Jesus. That's convicting, isn't it? Are you acting in a way, Keystone Church, are we acting in a way that when Ankeny looks at Keystone Church, they give us a name because we look like Jesus and not because we don't look like Jesus? There's plenty of that in the church. All right, back to the sermon. Disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. We're Christians. We belong to Christ. We are people who know and follow Jesus, and together we're a spiritual family. From the church in Antioch to Keystone Church in Ankeny, I want us to look at some characteristics of a spiritual family. What are some characteristics we can take away? And some of you here, I want to welcome you into spiritual family. Some of us here who are already people at Keystone and we know and follow Jesus, I want to say to us, let's get to work as spiritual family. But what does that look like? Let me give you some characteristics, all right? Here's one. Spiritual families diverse. That's one, all right? Spiritual families diverse. And again, we get a hint that the gospel's bigger than Jewish people in verse 18. Look at the text with me. So then here's what the church in Jerusalem realizes. So God has given repentance resulting in life even to the Gentiles. As the Jewish Christians are persecuted in Jerusalem and they're scattered and they speak the gospel, non-Jewish people are converted to follow Jesus. And the church in Jerusalem was like, holy cow, this is bigger than a Jewish thing. Listen, it has continued that way. Spiritual family is a diverse family. The spread of the gospel goes beyond the Jews here in Acts chapter 11. I thought about it like this. The gospel goes, our gospel should go to different people in different places. Keystone brothers and sisters, we're in a new place. This is a new house for us. What's the different people in the different places that God is going to call us to here? Because you know what? Spiritual family is diverse. Look at the text from me. The roots of it were in persecution. It's not always easy to go to different people in different places, is it? But the same spoken gospel goes to new and different places and different people. Different people, different places. Here's something else about the diversity as this early church went. Senders celebrate goers. Senders celebrate goers at Keystone Church. Pastor Brent's going to talk about the follow part going out. I don't want to steal too much of his thunder. I get in trouble for that, but I got to tell you. In this church, senders celebrate goers. Look at the text with me. I love this. Verse 20. But there were, I like this phrase, there were some of them. You see that? There were some of them. Isn't there always some of them? Like it's always a person who's saying, what if we tried this? It's like, oh, if we try that, It's going to be a lot more people. That's who we want. We want people to say, how do we take this message to different places and different people? What's the new day for us up here, Keystone? Where is God calling us? In places he hasn't called us to before. God is calling more people into his family. Different people, different places. And we want to go. Senders celebrate goers. One pastor says this, you have three options in the Christian life. Go, send, or disobey. It's true. Which is it? Which is it for you? Go, send, or disobey. If you're not going, you're sending. And at Keystone Church, man, senders celebrate goers. We send missionaries to other countries. We send SALT students and high school and middle school students to their campuses. One of the elders told us this week, did you know how many students are in the Ankeny school system? 13,000. 13,000 kids in the Ankeny school. Good grief, where I lived in Pennsylvania, there weren't 13,000 people in the counties I lived in. That's kids in our schools. Different people in different places that we have a responsibility to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't think the same way, friends. We got to go. Man, we're going to send, and senders at Keystone celebrate goers, from business owners to their customers and their clients, Keystone people in their factories and their fast food restaurants, from Antioch to Ankeny to the othermost parts of the earth. The senders at Keystone celebrate the goers. If you're not going, you're sending, or you're disobeying. Which is it? Spiritual family takes the gospel to diverse places, different people. Different places. When we send people at Keystone, if you don't know about this, you will know about it. We bring them up on stage, and what do? We extend our hands. You know that? And we do that. Pastor Brent's always up here, and he says, hey, we can't all come up here, although looking at this stage, we probably could all come up here now, couldn't we? But we don't all come up, but we put those people on stage who are going, and Pastor Brent says, everybody, extend your hands, right? And what is that? Well, it's right out of the Bible. Did you know that? You stick around long enough, you're going to see this happen. But this is Acts 13:3. This is the early church sending people. It says, after they had fasted, prayed, and laid their hands on them, what did they do? They sent them off. And man, if you stick around here long enough, here's what you'll find out about spiritual family. We send different people to different places. Because we believe God has work to do outside these walls. And as a church, we sit in our chairs and we extend our hands to the senders. And we say, go! Some of them went. Some of them went because spiritual family, man, is diverse. So Keystone, substance of spiritual family is going to diverse places and people, to the new thing, to the next thing. Same gospel, new and different places. Spiritual family is diverse. Spiritual family is growing. 21, look with me. The Lord, as they went, the Lord's hand was with them. And a few people believed. Is that what it says? What does it say? A large number believed. 21, Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Small number, large number, large number. Here's what I know, healthy things grow. Keystone Church, hey, brothers and sisters, Keystone's gonna get uncomfortable, all right? Here's what I know, Keystone Church, we wanna get big. We want to grow. We wanna grow because spiritual family is growing family, because healthy things grow. I said it like this. We want our congregation and our reputation to grow. Here's the problem with churches sometimes. I've been doing this a while. A church very often wants their congregation to grow, but they don't care about their reputation. Can you grow a big church anywhere? Absolutely. Next week, we're giving a car away. Tons of people be here. Want to win that car. Get an iPad. You come 5 weeks to church, we'll give you an iPad. We could fill this. Maybe not an iPad. We could fill this place. We can be tricky and gimmicky and silly. We're not going to do that. But you know what? We want this congregation to grow. We want more people to come. We can't wait to go to three services. That's not true. We can wait for that. But if we do, great. We may have to start, you may have to start parking back there until they build houses someday. That's going to happen. We're planning for that. We're planning to grow. You like small church? I love small church. I love seeing the same people all the time. I know you. I love you. It's not a small church anymore. We're growing our congregation. We want this place to get big. What does it say in the early church? Large numbers of people believed. Man, God wants to grow his church numerically. He wants to grow it according to his reputation, too. We're not going to get silly at Keystone Church. We're going to challenge you. We're going to call you up to things. This is a place where we're going to get into the Word of God. And we're going to talk about serious things that God wants to do in this spiritual family. Our congregation is going to go by the grace of God, and our reputation is going to grow. And sometimes churches are good at growing their reputation and not their congregation, or good at growing their congregation and not their reputation. Early church did both. That's what we want to do. I think that's important. Spiritual family is a growing family. Look what it says in Acts 2:47 about the early church. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. They grew. People outside were like, something's happening at that church, and people kept coming. Went to God, that's Keystone Church in this new place. That we are sending people to different places, but that we are a church that's growing in the size of our congregation and our reputation. Spiritual family is growing, so Keystone, keep dreaming. You know, some of you come with great ideas for this building. You're like, we should do this. We're not going to do that. Maybe we will. But it's true. Some of you come with all kind of, you're sitting around now, you're like, man, with this building, we could do this. Awesome. Tell us. If we don't like it, we'll tell you. But there's a lot of things we can do here. Keep dreaming. Keep bringing those ideas. Keep inviting your friends. I've talked to so many people, leaders right on down through this church, who are like, yeah, I asked my friend this, met this person there, invited them. I don't know if they're coming. Keep it up. We want to grow. Keystone Church, spiritual family is a growing family. We want our congregation, our reputation to grow. So keep dreaming, keep inviting. I told you it's going to get a little uncomfortable. Here's the other thing. New people are constantly becoming my people. That's the other thing I want to say. We want our congregation and our reputation to grow, and remember that new people are becoming my people. Back in July, we went on vacation with my family. And for the first time in our family, we have two toddlers, my grandkids, two toddlers and two babies. You think vacation was different this year? Some of you know. Some of you parents are like, I'll never do it again. We're not going anywhere with these kids. I mean, everything's around feeding schedules and nap schedules. I remember when my kids didn't have babies, when it was like, awesome. Six of us out to eat every night, getting naps during the day. Now we got to be back at the house because, you know, diapers need change, or this needs to happen, or don't let them go in the water. But guess what? At the end of that vacation, you come to me and say, Fry, would you rather not have the grandkids? No, of course I want the grandkids. I was thrilled by it. It changed everything about my family. But guess what? My family's growing. You know why? Because that's normal. That's what families do. Keystone brothers and sisters, this family is growing. And so sometimes it's easy to walk around and say, I don't get to see my people. Man, last week, I thought there was like 50 people weren't here. And they're like, yeah, we were here. We just didn't see you. Getting bigger. So you know what? Brothers and sisters who call this place home, new people are my people. If you're new, I'm looking for you. I want to meet you. I want to talk to you. I want to invite you into this thing we call spiritual family at Keystone Church. Spiritual families, always growing. New people are becoming my people. We're going to talk connection groups here in a couple weeks, getting them rolling. Man, that's how we do spiritual family around here, and it works. You need to ask about that. Subs of spiritual family is that we keep growing our congregation, our reputation, keep dreaming about what we should do for Ankeny, keep inviting people to meet Jesus Christ at Keystone Church. Spiritual family is grateful. Two more. Spiritual family is grateful. 23. News gets back to the church of Jerusalem. Jewish church or Gentile church in Jerusalem? Jewish. New things happening over there in Antioch, and word gets back to the leaders like, hey, somebody better go check on this. They send our guy Barnabas. We're going to learn about him, but they send Barnabas, they're like, hey, man, you need to go out there and check out what's going on in Antioch. Barnabas does. Look at this when he gets there. 20. I love this. 23. When he arrived at the church in Antioch, he said, the auditorium's too dark and your music's too loud. Is that what he said? That's not what he said. When he arrived, he saw the grace of God. And he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. You know what he was? He was grateful when he got there. I'm sure he saw some things in that church he didn't like. But when he got there, you know what he was first and foremost? He was grateful. The grace of God translated from the good news of Jesus Christ into his heart made him a glad person. You think people think Keystone is a glad church? Isn't that kind of a silly word to use? That's what it says. He was glad. I wonder, like on our sign, you know, Keystone Church, we're glad people. It feels weird. Are we? That was a reputation in Barnabas' life. Check it out. It was the reputation in the early church. This is, I don't think it's on the screen. Acts 2:46, they broke their bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Everybody's got, why you got a smile on your face? Because I'm glad. Because of Jesus. And I can't believe you're here. And I love what God's doing. Is that us, Keystone? Spiritual family? It's grateful. It's a grateful family. Grows out of the good news. Verse 20. They were proclaiming the good news. Of course they're glad. If you know Jesus, you don't have a care in the world. He gives you victory in this life, even though there's hard times. There's hard times. There's persecution, right? But they know Jesus. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus changes everything. I'm going to heaven someday. I got nothing to worry about. Let's go. I'm as happy as I can be, even in the hard times. That was the early church. I wonder, is that Keystone Church spiritual family grows out of the good news of what Jesus did to us, makes us grateful people. Barnabas was glad. He was filled with joy. He was encouraged to see the grace of God, which grew out of the good news of the gospel. He modeled and communicated gratefulness. He got there, I thought about it like this, quickly and deeply and residually and spiritually and humbly. He said, it's awesome what's going on around here. You like that? Am I like that? Matt Fry, he's a glad pastor. I hope so. People at work, they know you're a Keystone in your schools. You glad? Spiritual family's grateful. Barnabas. It's funny, Christians get a nickname. Barnabas had a nickname, you know that? Any Barnabases in the house? I'd give you money if you are. That's a great name. All right, no Barnabases. This is Acts 4:36. Joseph, that's Barnabas, a Levite from Cyprus by birth, the one the apostles called Barnabas. Look at his nickname. What was his nickname? Son of encouragement. Of course he went and was glad what he saw, because that's the kind of guy he was. Is Keystone Church full of Barnabases? Barnabas was a good man, a gospel man, a grace-filled man, a glad man, a grateful man. You grateful or grouchy? Use that on your kids tomorrow for school. Pastor Matt said, are you grateful or grouchy? Don't do that. But are you? Am I a grateful pastor or a grouchy pastor? Is it easy to walk into a new place and say, well, I wouldn't have done it like that. This is never going to work. Grateful, grouchy. Is that the disposition you carry at work, even though sometimes a Christian life is a hard life to live? Because it is. But in your heart, there's a gladness that wells up because the good news of the gospel is that Jesus saved you. So do people look at you, Christian friend? Do they look at us, Keystone brothers and sisters, and say, some of those people are weird, but they sure are glad. I hope that's true of us. We need to be a grateful church, spiritual family. Is grateful the substance of spiritual family. Is gratefulness grows out of the gospel. We should be glad, communicating gladness when we see the work of God. What do you see? What do I see? Grateful or grouchy? Last one. Spiritual family's learning. It's kind of a funny way they end it, but this is how it ends. Spiritual family is a family that learns. 24. He was a good man, Barnabas, full of Holy Spirit, faith. Large numbers of people were added to the Lord. People were coming to Jesus like crazy in this church, growing. He gets there. When he sees what's going on, he's glad. Then he went to Tarsus to look for Saul. What's Saul's other name? Paul. I love it. You are awake. Paul. Guy wrote most of the New Testament later on. At this point, history tells us it's probably been 8 or 9 years since his conversion, and we're not even sure what he was up to at this point. He's doing things, growing in the gospel, but he's relatively a new guy. Barnabas, he's established, man. But he's like, you know who I need? I need that dude, Saul. I got to find him. He can help me help these people learn. So he goes back to Tarsus, to Paul's home, Saul's hometown, finds him. Says, hey, come with me. When he found him, 26, see it? When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. Look at this. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught large numbers. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Imagine being part of that. Like, you're like, we got to deal with Fry and Minter to teach us. Imagine having Paul and Barnabas. Huh? Amazing. For a whole year, I would just like to have one of the manuscripts of that discipleship course they taught. For a year, this church at Antioch is taught, and they learn from the son of encouragement, Barnabas, and from this brash new follower of Jesus who ends up writing most of the New Testament, Paul, Saul of Tarsus. Man, spiritual family, we're a learning family. I wonder what is it that God wants to teach you. Listen, to do that, we look for other leaders. One writer says this: we can't help but admire Barnabas's humility and wanting to share the ministry with Saul. Sometimes we see what's going on in ministry. Imagine Barnabas gets there to Antioch and he sees what's happening. He's like, I'll handle this. I'm Barnabas. I got it. I'm a big shot. Come from the church in Jerusalem. I'll run the whole thing. First thing he does is say what? In his humility, he says, I need help. I got to find somebody else to help me with this. Keystone Church, learning family, is a family that brings along others. We have something in our church called the Keystone Way. Pastor Brent says this: the most valued person is the one who develops others. Is that you at Keystone Church? Is that you in your life? Is that you and your family, mom and dad? How are you developing others? Most valued person is the one who develops others. Barnabas gets there and says, man, these people have a lot to learn because there's large numbers of people. He says, I can't do it by myself. Humbly, he goes to this guy who's a new Christian in the faith and says, I think God has his hand on you. Come with me, young man. Let's teach these people. Man, spiritual family is a family that is learning. Teaching is an extension of reaching. Last thing I want to show you here, look at verse 26 again. When he found him, when Barnabas found Saul, he brought him to Antioch, and for a whole year they met with the church and taught what? Large numbers. Isn't that interesting? Because they reached large numbers of people and they taught large numbers of people. Keystone, it's not enough just to fill this house with people and have them say a prayer to believe in Jesus. We got to teach them. Large numbers of people came to faith in Jesus, but they didn't leave them there. Large numbers of people were taught how to know and follow Jesus. That's up to us, Keystone brothers and sisters. That's what we got to do. What a job we have. Teaching is an extension of reaching. What are we doing with who God is going to bring us, huh? That's what I'm asking. Helping people know and follow Jesus happens in the context of spiritual family. The substance of that family is diverse and growing and grateful and learning. If you don't know and follow Jesus, welcome into spiritual family. That's what I want to say to some of you. If you're new here and you're kicking the tires metaphorically of Keystone Church, welcome. Let me show you spiritual family. It begins with the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about putting your faith in him, confessing your sins to him, beginning a new life. That's where it starts. Welcome. Keystone brothers and sisters, let's get to work. That's the message to us. Spiritual family is all of these things and more, so we can't sit here. This church is going to grow by the grace of God. It's going to grow in the size of our congregation and our reputation. Let's carry that substance, spiritual family. Let's pray. God, what a challenge this church is from Antioch to Ankeny. There's a lot for us to learn from these ancient people committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ in new ways, to different people, to different places. Lord, we want to grow. We don't want to grow to make ourselves feel good. Anybody can do that. We want to grow because people need to know Jesus. And so keep that in front of us, God. May this congregation grow to your glory. May the reputation of Keystone Church be a reputation where people say, those Christians over there, those followers of Jesus, that's us. Lord, we want to be that to your glory. Father, I pray if there's one here who has no idea what that spiritual family is, that they would meet Jesus today. Lord, help us to get to work. There's a lot of work to do. There are seats to fill. And so, God, we want to call people and bring people to you by your power, we pray.